In our scripture reading today from Exodus, Moses' father-in-law talks to Moses about not trying to do everything alone. He encourages him to ask for help from God and to teach the people the things God wants them to do. And then in the verses from Psalms, encourages us to remember God's grace and mercy, showing people the power and goodness of God, teaching them to give him glory. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he is instructing them that they each have a job to do and that they are all intertwined, that they all have gifts from God that are to be shared with one another and with everyone they meet. Well, I feel that these scriptures speak to what we try to share at Wanakee. The staff is chosen and hired for their individual gifts and talents. Then they come and learn to work together and are trained to care for and lead the campers on a spiritual journey of growth while they play and work together. A pastor during a staff training session once said, "You may be the only Jesus they ever see." This made a huge impression on me. What an awesome responsibility. It was important when most of our campers were going to Sunday school, but it's even more important now when most of our campers do not. I've been privileged to watch and be part of this process for many years, and I'd like to share some Wanakee stories today that have shown God's amazing grace and our attempts to be more like Jesus. But before I do that, I'd like to share how I came to Wanakee and how being involved with staff, volunteers, and campers has influenced my faith journey. So let me start at the beginning. I grew up in New Jersey in a family that believed camp was important. We lived at the Jersey Shore in the summer. We could go to the beach every day. Well, except when we went to camp. My friends could not believe that I would leave the beach to go to camp, but I did, and I loved it. And when I was a teenager, I got to counsel at Girl Scout camp. I even counseled at 4-H camp, even though I didn't belong to 4-H. And church camp. We also family camped in a tent, cooking over a campfire, lashing tables. You know, you get the idea. So when I met Rich, over there, in the cafeteria at Northeastern University in February of 1975, we started dating, and he told me about this wonderful camp called Wanakee. He said there was no running water or electricity on the hill where the campers stayed. In these tents and hogans, he said they looked like the top of a covered wagon. I don't know. But it was wonderful, and he couldn't wait to take me there. Well, as I said, I'm a camper from way back, so it sounded great to me. So when he brought me up to Wanakee for the first time from Boston on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, gosh, you guys already know what's going to happen, don't you? So just picture this. Here's this girl, me, from New Jersey, coming to the woods of New Hampshire for the first time in the month of May. Yeah, right. So I got out of the car in the parking lot, and I was trying to be all, you know, cool, because I was with Rich. Anyway, I noticed there were a few bugs flying around, but I didn't really think too much about it. I mean, after all, we have bugs in New Jersey. Well, as we walked up the hill, the cloud of bugs just kept getting thicker and thicker, and they were biting me. And from what I could see, they weren't mosquitoes. I had no idea what they were. And Rich didn't even seem to notice them. Well, I was trying to impress this guy with my outdoorsiness, so I didn't say anything, but I was getting a little bit freaked out. Finally, we came up to Site 4, which is about halfway up the hill. And there, through the clouds of bugs, I could see people, a lot of people. They were preparing platforms for the tent and the hogans in Site 4. I couldn't believe it. They were talking and laughing and calling out to Rich. A number of knew him. They notice all the bugs. Well, I knew right then that this place called Wanakee had to be special to have all these volunteers working under these conditions. And I was looking forward to learning more about it and to finding out about these bugs. Well, it wasn't too many years later that I became a part of the Camps and Conference Committee, which is what it was called back in the 80s. And there are a group of volunteers who manage the facilities and the program and everything else about the camp, along with the administrator. One summer in the early 80s, in the middle of the camp session, the camp ran out of water. No water, none. The lake filter had failed, and there was no water. So a meeting of Camps and Conference Committee was called, and we met in the farmhouse living room. My faith wasn't all that strong yet, so I was worried. How could we keep the camp open if we don't have any water? Well, at one point during the meeting, Pastor Frank Gulinello, I don't know if anybody of you remember him, but he leaned back in the corner of one of the old, dilapidated, donated couches we had and said, "God will have his camp." What? God will have his camp? How's that going to help us get water? Oh, you have a little faith, I say now. Well, the facilities committee contacted a company that drills wells, and they came out to Wanakee and checked the whole place, and there's a lot of acreage, and said, "Sorry, there's no water on this property. We can't dig you a well." Oh, no. Now what are we going to do? Well, I wanted to be sure I got this story straight, so I contacted Reverend Phil Polhemus, who some of you may know, because I recalled he was involved with the solving of this problem. This is what he told me, and I quote, "I knew there was water because years before I had walked the site with a guy from Milan. He would cut a forked branch, and it would go down over water. I called him, and he came down, and we walked the field, and wow, that branch went down fast and hard. It peeled the bark right off." His dry comment was, "You'll have enough." He was a well digger and came down, and when he was done, we had 128 plus gallons per minute. That was as fast as his pump could pump. And the static water level is less than 4 feet from the surface. The depth, I think, is a little over 400 feet. This fellow was an active member of the Drummer United Methodist Church and had been to Wanakee many times. Wow. We were like, a divining rod? They're real? No idea. So I'm happy to report that this well is still providing sufficient water. And this event was the first time I truly felt God's amazing grace at Wanakee. Through the years, there have been many times when I could feel the power of God working through the staff, the volunteers and campers, with the sharing of his grace. Now, I could stand here all day relating stories, but don't worry, I won't. I'm watching the clock. I'm just going to tell you a few that came to mind immediately when I was asked to do this service. The first one is when I was directing an arts and crafts camp for fourth to sixth graders called Creation Station. And it started to rain. We had all our craft supplies and tables and chairs and backpacks under this big white tent. And we were all having a great time making petroglyphs using plaster of Paris and popsicle sticks and shoe polish. I mean, wouldn't you make a petroglyph with shoe polish? Now, I had been under this tent through many rainstorms. We'd use the tent for remote dining when we had too many campers to fit in the dining hall for meals, for the clown camp shows, for rest times and discussions, for worship services, and for the Footnotes concert, to name a few. It protected us from sun and rain and was an important program space for the camp. Well, on this particular day, the sky was getting darker and darker and the wind picked up a bit, not bad. So we just kept working while I kept an eye on the sky. Then all of a sudden, I received a strong message from what I believe was the Holy Spirit. Have you ever gotten one of those, like a nudge? Or a more than a nudge? Well, this one was very strong, and it told me to move the children inside immediately. Quickly looking around, I realized we were at a point in the project when it would be easy for everyone to pick up and move. And I mean, the weather wasn't that bad, but this feeling was so strong. So all I had to do was say the words and the count word, and the counselors jumped up to help move the children and their projects into the dining hall just a short distance away. Moments after we got all settled, in the dining hall, the sky let go. The thunder boomed, and the wind tore through the camp. But because the staff had been so well trained, there was no panic among them or the campers. It was normal to hang out in the dining hall when the weather was bad, and it was really bad at that moment. Then, as quickly as it started, it was over. Sun came out, so we picked up our stuff and headed back to the tent, only to find it completely destroyed. The tent poles were bent. The huge tent was collapsed all over the chairs and tables. The bins of craft supplies were full of water. Still, I can't even. So we pulled a table out from under the wreckage, had the campers put their projects down, and then the counselors took the children to play and debrief them if needed, knowing that if they needed help, they could turn to me or to the camp nurse or to the site director. I just stood there. All I could think about was, what if I had ignored that nudge from the Holy Spirit to move the children? There would have been serious injuries and major trauma for those campers. I believe it was through God's amazing grace that no one in camp was hurt during that horrific storm. Oh, and there's always a bright side to these stories. In case you were wondering, the maintenance staff got right to work, helping me clean up the mess. So it was back to creating cool projects the very next day. Whew. The rest of the stories I'm going to tell you are all from an event called Footnotes, which Carrie Lynn, Nancy, and I were involved in for many years, and where these fabulous shirts are from. We would pass these shirts out every Saturday morning before our concert, and everyone wore one, and then collect them back after the concert to be used the next year. Many Footnotes campers and staff from other events came, and campers from other events came from this church over the years, so you might recognize these shirts. They are all one size, so just picture in your mind little fourth graders with a shirt hanging down to their knees, standing next to Nathan Kimner in the same size shirt, and every size and shape in between. Yeah, it was so much fun. Anyway, moving on. At Footnotes, we had a variety show on Thursday night. It was a time when campers and staff could sign up to show their talents or just have fun. One year, a young man signed up to tell jokes. And when it was his turn, he got up in front of all the campers, froze, burst into tears, and ran off the stage. Fortunately, his older brother was on staff and was able to comfort him. Now, this was the first time anything had ever happened like this at the variety show, and I didn't know how the campers were going to react. There were probably 60 or 70 kids in the audience, fourth grade through high school. Well, after living and working together for the week, they had learned to care for one another and how to show each other grace. No one laughed or made any comments. We just moved on to the next act, and I thought that was the end of it, but it wasn't. On Saturday morning, we were all in the rec hall getting ready to do our concert, lots of excitement and a tight schedule. Well, this same young man came up to me and said he was ready to tell his jokes. Like, now? You see, I'd told him after the incident on stage that if he wanted to tell his jokes, all he needed to do was tell me when he was ready. Oh, boy. I would thought it would be in the dining hall or during a rehearsal, but oh, nay. He was ready when we were moments before starting our concert. Again, I wondered, how are these campers going to react to this? I wasn't worried about starting the concert a few minutes late. The parents knew we had like 60 kids to wrangle. But what about the campers? Well, I didn't hesitate. I raised my hand, showing the Wanakee quiet sign, which you all now know. Everybody was silent. I announced, well, let's just call him Mike, was ready to tell his jokes and asked if everyone would please sit down. And they did. without a murmur or question, and gave Mike their full attention. The look on his face, he told his jokes to thunderous applause and a standing ovation. The look on his face was something I will never forget. Many years later, when he was a senior in high school and one of my LITs, leaders in training, he talked with me about that day. He said it changed his life and that he would always be grateful. God's amazing grace at Wanakee working again. Now, as you've probably gathered, Footnotes was a performance event that was unique among Wanakee programs for a number of reasons. One being that campers could start coming to Footnotes after finishing fourth grade and come back every year until after they finished their senior year in high school. And a lot of campers did that. Most events at Wanakee have site groups of 12 with a specific age grouping, like third and fourth grade or fourth to sixth grade, so it's relatively easy to sort children into their site groups. Footnotes, on the other hand, presented a huge challenge in this area. I would receive my list of campers, 40, 50, 60, 70 of them, and then had the task of sorting them into their site groups. I had to try to keep in mind their grade level, but then they would write on their form about who they wanted to be in the cabin with because they're coming back to see their friends. So I have the people in the like this, and I'm trying to get them all in. And then there were always new campers that came. And I couldn't put one child who'd never been to Footnotes before in a site with all these people who knew each other. So it was tricky. But I would try to start. I would start, you know, with the oldest group, you know, okay, and bring them down, put those kids in, and I get to the bottom, and I move, and I get them. And then it always happened that in the middle, there was a group of children that would end up in what I called the family site, a much more diverse group than is ideal. Well, Emily Getchell-Lacey ended up in this family site her first year at Footnotes as a fourth grader. I recently spoke with her about it to be sure she would be okay with me telling the story and to get the details. I knew Emily as my family attended this church at the time, and when I discovered one fourth grade girl was going to have to be in the family site, I chose Emily. She was petite then as she is now, and all I could do was pray that it would work out okay. She was in a site with fifth and sixth graders, and there might have even been a couple of seventh graders thrown in there. Well, Monday morning arrived, and when I checked in with Emily, she was very happy and informed me she wanted everybody to call her M-Bob. Okay, I wasn't sure where that came from, but I announced to the group, nobody blinked an eye, everybody started calling her M-Bob. I noticed her site was doing well as a group, so I breathed a sigh of relief and moved on, again thanks to those well-trained counselors. Because whenever I put a site group together, there's always a chance for personality conflicts or issues to be dealt with, which is part of what campers learn to do at camp. Work together, learn to love each other, even though they may not particularly like each other. Loving someone you don't like, that's a topic for another day. Anyway, Emily told me that she was a little bit nervous about being the youngest one in the site, but that everyone was very nice to her. Let me quote to you what she said. There were too many Emilys, and I was the youngest one, so actually one of the girls in my cabin came up with the nickname so I would know if someone was talking to me instead of other people. Everyone was super wonderful about it and started calling me M-Bob right away. As my granddaughter, that little two-year-old that was running around the sanctuary, would say, ding! Instead of being left out, Emily was made to feel special and loved by campers she had only just met. God's amazing grace at Wanakee. My last story, and I'll try to talk fast here, because it's the most significant one to me, because it's a specific example of amazing grace that went over 30 years. When I first started directing Footnotes in 1985, it was called Music Camp. We just had a small choir that sang for the Wanakee Barbecue, which was held on the second Saturday of July every year. But over the years, the camp evolved to include handbells, these handbells, which we borrowed from this church, thank you very much, sacred dance, we had a band, we had skits, as well as having a choir. In our biggest year, we had 72 campers. The concerts were always outside, and when I first started, the choir stood and sang on the rec hall porch. Small group, no problem. But as the program grew, I started worrying about the weather on concert day. What if it was raining? How would we perform? There's no indoor space big enough at Wanakee. Every year I would worry and plan and fret, but it never rained on concert Saturday. Finally, I realized I just needed to have faith and stop worrying. Apparently, God loved footnotes, and it wasn't ever going to rain on the Wanakee Barbecue and the Footnotes concert, and in 30 years, the program ran. It never did. One year, it rained all week and stopped for our dress rehearsal Friday morning, and the sun came out. But were there these puddles all over the volleyball court? So where the sacred dancers dance? So Stephanie Kimner, she might have been like 8 or 9 maybe, helped me sweep and shot back the water off the volleyball court. A wind came up that night and it was dry for our performance on Saturday morning. And only one other time do I remember it threatening to rain during a concert, but it didn't start raining until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It didn't start raining till all the campers had checked out with their gear in their cars and everyone had eaten their chicken barbecue. 30 plus years, no rain on the second Saturday of July. If that's not amazing grace, I don't know what is. Amen?
Amen.